The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. What we're going to do in this episode is present you with a little taste of one of the shows we've recently added to the Talking Metal Digital platform. Talking Metal Digital is a family of podcasts, including Talking Metal, and also including the one you're going to hear today on the Talking Metal feed. This is the third episode of Metal Raps. It's a show that features myself, Mark Striegel, along with Mitch Joel and a guy named Mitch LaFon. If you dig what you're hearing on this third episode of Metal Raps, what I suggest you do and what I would encourage you to do is go subscribe to it on iTunes and also leave a review on iTunes. You can also check Metal Raps out on the Spreaker platform, Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. I'm not a good speller, but I think I did that right. Cool, guys. Anyways, without further ado, here's myself along with Mitch Joel and Mitch LaFon on the third episode of Metal Raps.
Well, hey there, and welcome to Metal Raps number 3. My name is Mitch Joel, and I'm happy to be back, as always, with Mark Striegel from Talking Metal. Mark, how are you doing?
Good, Mitch. How you doing?
Great. And we've got Mitch LaFon from One on One with Mitch LaFon. Mitch.
Good day, good day. It's kind of hard to hear Mark say, "Hi, Mitch," and then me not say anything.
We knew this was going to be complicated. You got Mitch, Mitch, and Mark. We're going to work through this. People will get used to our voices and the dulcet sounds of all things heavy that we love to talk about.
Exactly.
Let me throw it over to you, Mitch, first. Start off, you've had some crazy conversations yesterday. Over the past couple of weeks, you've got Ace Frehley, which we're not going to talk about Ace because we always talk about Ace, but you've had Rob Halford, Merciful Fate, and one that I really want to talk about is Gary Cherone.
Yeah, Gary was great. I love Gary. And, you know, after the interview, I went out and I found the Hurt Smile album. It comes out in October in North America, but it came out in April in Japan, and I bought it, had it sent over, and it is absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's exactly what you want Extreme and Van Halen with Gary Cherone to sound like, but it's called Hurt Smile. And Gary's just a great guy to talk to. I've interviewed him probably for 4 to 6 times, and he's just really fun. He's such a good guy.
I remember, like yesterday, which makes me sound immediately like an old fart, 1989 and Kid Ego and that self-titled Extreme album and the combo of Nuno Bettencourt and Gary Cherone. I thought that these guys were unstoppable. And crazy but true story, I remember having conversations in the sort of nerdy way us metal nerds do with friends saying things like, "Man, this guy would be such an awesome singer in Van Halen."
Yeah.
And he inevitably became the singer in Van Halen. I think he joined the band in 1996, and the infamous 3 album came out in 1998. There was one major song on that album, Without You, which it was a major song, but in the construct of Van Halen, what they had done, the album, the song was a flop. I think that was the only album that actually never went double platinum for Van Halen. Toured it okay, nothing great. So it was sort of like a weird thing where like these amazing people got together and suddenly – it didn't work out.
It didn't, no. But, you know, there's a bunch of good songs on that album. There's Fire in the Hole, One I Want. It just didn't go anywhere because folks wanted that reunion with David Lee Roth. They had been teased with that greatest hits, you know, Volume 1 that had those two David Lee Roth tracks. And then they came out with Gary and people went,
I'm not sure, but I don't know if I agree with you. Well, let me throw the mark. Mark, what do you, I don't agree with Mitch, but Mark, what do you think?
Well, you know, album aside, I think the big thing that Gary brought to Van Halen at that time was he brought back the Roth era songs in the live arena, you know.
Well, a lot more of them.
Yeah, a lot more of them. Stuff that Sammy refused to sing. I mean, Sammy really wasn't doing, at least not at that time. Again, Sammy came back for a tour after Sharon, before Roth rejoined. And at that point, they started doing a lot of Roth era stuff. But on that tour, that was the first time they started really pulling out a lot of the old Roth era classics that they hadn't played since 1984. You know, so he really helped, I think, get the band back in touch with that era of their past, which in my opinion is the best era of Van Halen.
I'll tell you something funny. You know, when, I mean, it really was a blip, him being in Van Halen, being out of Van Halen. He then went on to do this thing called Tribe of Judah, which I could not wrap my arms around. But again, Gary's an amazing singer. One of the most amazing things Sharon ever did, in my opinion, and you may laugh, but I believe it to be true, is that in the mid-2000s, he took part in this thing called Amazing Journey. I don't know if you guys know this. It was a tribute to The Who, and it was Gary Sharon, Mike Portnoy on drums from Dream Theater, who's the guy who sort of pulled this whole thing together, Paul Gilbert, Mr. Big and Racer X on guitar, and Billy Sheehan on bass. And if you go, please stop the podcast, go to YouTube, check out Amazing Journey. It is they did a whole bunch of like guitar workshop type conferences, and they were just insane amazing. And hearing Sharon, who really did have an amazing rock voice. I mean, he was heavily influenced by Queen, Roger Daltrey, The Who. In fact, I think even now, I think he, with his brother, he does some sort of Who tribute thing. Yeah, I think it's called Slipkid or something like that.
He still does The Who tribute. Yeah, he loves that stuff, you know. And of course, he did Jesus Christ Superstar. And I mean, he's a really talented singer. And the one thing that we talked about in the interview is that they have this Live in Pittsburgh album that they recorded in 98. And it was good to go. It was on all the release sheets. It was going to be in Japan first, and then they stuck it in a closet. And I just wish, like Gary did in the interview, that they polish it up and put it out officially. Because why not, you know, commemorate that era? He did well live. He did well. The album was unfocused, but live. I mean, Mean Streets came back. Romeo Delight came back. Somebody Get Me a Doctor. Come on, put it out.
But what's crazy, too, is it's funny because you sort of forget. Like, I was laughing, Mark, as you were speaking, because it's like, you know, David Lee Roth is in, David Roth is out. Sammy Hagar came back from Living One. And like, it's sort of like, unless you really know it, it's like my head is a bit fuzzy around that whole thing. But what I do remember distinctly, and I think that you guys are both right in the sense, is that when Gary came into Van Halen, and not only did he bring back some of the Roth era songs, I think what was more important is that he did them with love and passion and reverence for them, because anybody who knows the Sammy era Van Halen, and by the way, I'm a massive fan of the Sammy era Van Halen. I think I could listen to 5150 and For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge a million times a day and never tire. But Sammy, when it came to doing Dave's songs live, especially stuff like Jump, I mean, it was he turned it into a parody, which made it tough for real fans. I mean, it was you wanted to see Sammy sort of, you know, give its due, you know, really give it the respect that those songs deserve, whether or not you like the character of DLR or not.
Well, how many did he do? He only did like two, right? He did Panama and Jump, Sammy. He didn't really get into anything else except those two sort of, you have to play them because the MTV crowd's going to kill you if you don't.
Until that tour, you know, after Sharon,
Which is silly, by the way. Stuff. And it's also very silly that Dave refuses to do some of the bigger hits. You can't just say, well, we had a decade as a band and it doesn't exist. I've never been able to wrap my head around that. And that's why when Bruce Dickinson comes out there and does Deano songs and does Blaze Bailey songs, you go, hey, good on you. You know,
it's about the fans. A little different though, Mitch. It's a little different,
right? Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
When Bruce Dickinson does Blaze Bailey, it's different. I mean, come on. It's a nod to an era of the band, and it's, you know, wise of him to include those fans and not just say, oh, no, no.
I think David Lee Roth era Van Halen is like something people would get tattooed on their arms. I'm not sure people are getting Blaze Bailey Iron Maiden tattooed on their arms is what I'm trying to say.
I understand that, but that's why it's extra cool that Bruce Dickinson will do those songs. And that's why it would be extra cool if David Lee Roth would bother singing Right Here, Right Now once.
Never ever will happen.
No,
never.
Of course not. But, yeah, and it's never. Silly.
So Gary, you have a conversation with Gary Mitch. What's he up to? I mean, he guy's in his mid-50s. What is his current sort of thing? What's he working on?
Well, you know, he's still got Extreme, and they've got new music coming. But, of course, Nuno's out with Rihanna.
Right. Does everyone know that he's the touring guitarist for Rihanna? That's pretty cool, too.
Well, I think the 3 or 4 Extreme fans that follow the band probably know that.
I'm a fan. No, go on.
I'm a fan, too. I love the band, actually. You know, they want to bring the Porno Graffiti whole album live show to North America because they've been doing it overseas. But right now he's got this album called Retro Grenade with a band called Hurtsmile, his band with his brother. And it is brilliant. There's a song on there called Hello, I Must Be Going. And we talk about it in the interview. It sounds like 1970s Cheap Trick. I mean, everything about it, the arrangements, the style, the guitar, everything. And the whole album is just great. I mean, I was expecting absolutely nothing from it because the first Hurtsmile was sort of mediocre, and that's being polite. But this one definitely goes into my top 10 of 2014.
It bothers me, guys. It bothers me because he is such a massive talent and such an amazing showman that he is so hit and miss with his music. And I'm not saying it's by his own creation, but it's like either choices he's making, musical partnerships he's working on. And even, you know, it's funny. If you sort of reflect on the discography of Extreme, there's a lot of hit and misses even within albums. Entire albums. And it's so frustrating when you have a guy with that wealth of talent that just can't nail it every single time. It's frustrating as a fan.
Yeah, Tribe of Judah was awful.
That was tough to listen to.
And I think one of the bands...
I really tried.
It had a picture of him with a gun in his mouth, and I was just like... The image is wrong. The music is wrong. The style for you is wrong. The vocal style. I mean, just everything was... You know, you had a checklist, and it was like, no, X, X, X. And it's like, come on, Gary. I mean, okay, don't do hair metal. We get it, but... Just give people some melodic rock. You have that voice. It works. Just go with it. And by the way, on the Hurtsmile, he covers Elvis Costello's Pump It Up. And it sounds brilliant. I mean, it's a great, great album. You know, I'll give him props for that. I've reconnected with Gary on this album. This music works.
I'll tell you, when you said that you had an interview with him, I just smiled. It was nice to hear that he's doing stuff and he's around and he's active. Mark, what's been happening on Talking Metal?
Well, we spoke with a guy named Mike Lapon from the band Symphony X, who is Symphony X, you know, New Jersey-based band, and he has a solo record coming out which features Metal Mike from Halford fame and also Alan Tecchio. Do you guys know Alan Tecchio?
I know the name. Give us the rundown.
Yeah, he was in one of the first ever progressive metal bands called Watchtower, which
I was going to go Crimson Glory, but I'm glad you went
close.
Watchtower.
Yeah, actually, even before Crimson Glory, Watchtower, and that was a band that Jason McMasters was in, and Alan replaced him in Watchtower when he went on to form Dangerous Toys, and he also went on to do Nonfiction and Hades too, which were underground metal bands from. You know, the 80s and early 90s. So
Mark has my favorite Talking Metal episode of all time just went up recently. It's an all-girl episode with Butcher Babies, Crucified Barbara, and Hellion. And I did all the interviews, so it was wonderful to hear.
Yeah, Mitch really helped us out and provided us with some great interviews,
great
including Carla from Butcher Babies, which I practically fell in love with her listening to that interview. I mean, you downplayed the interview to me. I thought it was a great interview.
That's funny too. It's like, Mitch, you managed to like in a circular way promote yourself. That's fantastic.
Right. Isn't that
wonderful? Magical. Yeah, it was very different.
I had that touch.
One of the other things I thought we could do on this show is talk a bit about sort of the current affairs of metal.
Yep.
I found it really interesting slash scary to hear that Def Leppard is taking on a new guitarist. And it turns out that it's Trickster Steve Brown, who I'm sure many listeners remember. And he's actually filling in for Vivian Campbell. The story here is one, I think, of hope. I'm going to be very positive. Campbell's come down with a form of Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was in some state of remission. It seems to have come back, unfortunately. Campbell, in my opinion, I don't know what you guys think, is one of the greatest living hard rock guitarist. This guy was, you know, people will say Dio, people will say Whitesnake, people will say Def Leppard. I'll tell you what I would say. I would say River Dogs. I think River Dogs is one of the greatest bands. That debut album is still to this day 100% top to bottom, completely enjoyable. So, you know, one is I think all of us wish Vivian a speedy recovery, because it's very, very scary to be in that space, especially when it comes back after being in remission. But interesting that, you know, Trickster Steve Brown, I mean, that one really gave it was a right hook to me.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, he's melodic rock, but the interesting part of this is he was on tour with the band all summer on that Kiss Def Leppard tour. He was the stand-in, ready to go in case anything went wrong. And luckily it didn't, so Vivian got to go through. But it'll be an interesting addition. And again, I love Steve Brown. I've sent emails to him. We've talked over the years. But I really want Vivian to come back.
Absolutely. You know. I mean, Vivian, one of the, like you said, Mitch Joel, just such an important part of the early 80s heavy metal scene for me, with those first three Dio records, especially the first two, Holy Diver and Last in Line. However, back to the Def Leppard thing, what I would have, as a Def Leppard fan, what I would have loved to have seen happen is they bring Pete Willis back into the fold temporarily.
Oh,
now, Pete Willis, of course, played on those first three Def Leppard records and co-wrote some of the biggest songs on those records, Bringing On the Heartbreak and Photograph. Those songs were written.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
where's the guy?
Probably living in a dumpster somewhere.
Oh, God.
No, he's probably a multimillionaire. I mean, he wrote Photograph. You know, I mean, I would think, unless he just signed off his, you know, rights to it when he left the band.
Yeah,
Mark,
you know,
there's all sorts of shady stuff going on, Mark. I'm not sure if we could claim that he's sad, but.
And a lot of bands back in the day, when they would throw you out, they would buy out your contract and say, okay, we'll give you $100,000. You go, oh, that's a ton of money. Then you don't realize that it's going to make millions, right? So who knows? But
I'll tell you something. When Trickster came out, I don't know if you guys remember, they were really very much promoted as sort of like the new kids on the block of metal. It was supposed to be these young guys, comic book covers. I even think later on it was somewhat admitted that they were lying even about how young they were, and they weren't that young. But again, no doubt, you think about the combo between the singer and Steve Brown, the guitarist. Steve was an amazing guitarist. I mean, he was amazing back then. I know that they've recently got back together, Trickster, and been doing dates. And again, you can go on YouTube and watch some of the clips. If you like the songs and if you like the music, they sound really, really tight. And I think a big chunk of it is Steve's playing. This guy is really, really tight.
Agreed.
Cool.
Absolutely agreed. And I think he'll fit. But again, I just don't want him to fit too long.
Well, you just want Viv back. I mean, it's Viv. Like, you know, Mark, when you said Last in Line, you just sort of go, oh, man, think about the riffs on those songs. Like, just crazy guitar riffs.
But the curse of Def Leppard. I mean, they've been through all kinds of stuff. They don't need a guitarist who you know, another guy who loses a battle to can't. They just don't need that. The fans don't need that. Viv's family, you know, we just want him back for all the right reasons.
Listen, part of the story here is that as we continue our passion for the music, we can't deny this the sort of regular cycles and turns of life. I mean, even, you know, this past week, AC/DC, right? Malcolm Young being treated for dementia. Guy had major medical issues happen, medical crisis last year. He's apparently in a home. Band's still going forward and they're doing stuff. But I mean, you know, it's really shocking. It really is shocking to be our age and see the bands we know and love, they're getting older. Everyone's getting older.
Yeah,
it's great.
You know, and of course, Peter Criss had his breast cancer. But I think the band, like AC/DC, should go on. If not for anything else, just to honor Malcolm and say, you know what, we're going to hold strong just for you, buddy.
And Malcolm, in the mix of things, you know, in the pocket, amazing rhythm player, definitely was playing a backseat to the chaos that was, you know,
AC/DC.
Yeah, AC/DC and Angus and then that whole world. Hey, guys, always a pleasure to do this.
Absolutely.
The time flies every single time.
But what about our A segment?
Okay, yeah, exactly. We didn't do an ace. We apologize. We should just call this Metal Ace Freely as the podcast.
That's right. Ace Raps.
The Ace Raps.
Hey, you could follow me on Twitter at Mitch Joel. Mitch, why don't you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mitch LaFon, LaFon.
And Mark?
Cool. I will plug the Facebook page today. It's facebook.com/mstriegel. That's MSTRIGL. Friend me there.
There you go.
Awesome. And we'll be back with episode number 4 of Metal Raps coming up really soon. Yeah.